In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I just want to recap something with you. Elijah the prophet, he literally destroyed the prophets of Baal. He was triumphant over the priests of Baal. And then Jezebel says, "I'm not going to rest until you're dead." And what does he do? He finds a broom tree and he just lies under the broom tree, depressed, falling asleep. You would think that he would remember that he killed the prophets of Baal. You would think that he would remember, but the prophet is human. And no miracle happens to the prophet without that draining the prophet. I tell you, it's not the prophet who heals, but the healing comes through the prophet. Today we heard in at Mass that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet people don't believe that. People don't believe that because if they did, they'd see multiplication. If they did, they see healing. If they did, they see deliverance. Oh yes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I tell you, Elijah was depressed because he was exhausted. And God did not ask him to do another miracle. God sent an angel to bake him a cake and a jug of water. Oh, and with that food, he literally would run and run and run and run. He was given food from heaven. You know what? We receive food from heaven at the Eucharist. Food from heaven. How many of us are strengthened by the Holy Eucharist? Oh yes, it is the presence of Jesus himself. He gives that to us. I was going to tell you a story about being tired. I remember going to Spencer, St. Joseph's Abbey. I was exhausted. I wasn't a priest, but I had been ministering and ministering, and I just went there just to rest. And in comes this woman, said, "The monk told me to come to you and tell you my troubles." So I said, I'm thinking, this monk has been praying for how many years, and I'm just a broken soul. But I said to her, "Yes, tell me your troubles." I asked her a question, "How many children did your mother have?" She said, 23. I said, "And where were you?" She said, "I was the last." I said, "What makes you afraid?" She said, "I see my mother's face shining like the sun." I said, "That's good." And she said, "You know what? My mother was sick in the hospital. It wasn't a bad sickness. It was something minor." And I told her on a Friday evening, "I have to go home, take a shower. I'm tired. I'll see you tomorrow." And when I went home, my mother died. And now she thinks that she was the cause of that death. And I prayed with her that Jesus would be present to her and to her mother. And she was delivered that day. She was delivered that day. I tell you, the prophet is a prophet from God, but he is still human. As I said yesterday, the best of men are men at best. Even the prophets. Oh yes, Elijah wanted to die. He says, "Kill me, I want to die." Just because of Jezebel, who was threatening him. We're looking at the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, verse 11. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain," this is to Elijah, "before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Oh yes, the Lord is about to pass by. "Reach out and touch the Lord. As he goes by, you'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. The Lord was about to pass by. Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the great wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence, like a little breeze. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped by his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him who said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord of God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill him. Whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill him. Yet I will leave 7,000 prophets in Israel, all the ones whose knees have not bowed to the Baals, and every mouth that has not kissed him." And so he set out, Elijah did, and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over Elisha. He left the oxen, and he ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them using the equipment from the oxen, and he boiled the flesh of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. I tell you, there's no looking back. There's no going to kiss your mother and father. There's no more because you have a cow that you bought or you married a wife. When God calls you to follow him, you drop everything. It's a prophetic call. And you drop everything and you follow him. And you say, "But what will people think?" I tell you, what will God think if I don't do it? Yes, the Lord told me, "Preach my word in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient." And you know, I was going through all the letters today, and so many people thanked me for being on radio. They said, "You are a voice crying out in the wilderness." And I am a voice crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the paths of the Lord. Because there's such darkness upon the earth. I know there's such darkness upon the earth. I've been talking about partial birth abortion, that even if the baby is in the chamber of being born, they could kill that child. What about the prophets? What are they saying? If you do these things, God's wrath is going to come upon you. God's wrath is going to come upon you. I tell you, the whole experience of abortion, God's wrath will come upon us. We have killed 60 million children. Imagine if they were alive today. We would have companies for shoes and coats and shirts and underwear. But you know what? We desire to follow the God of convenience, and we killed our children. Ah, God forgive us. God, forgive us. God, forgive us. God, forgive us. Chapter 21 of 1 Kings. Later, the following events took place. Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. And Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard so that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near my house. I will give you a better vineyard for it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you my ancestral inheritance." In other words, he inherited this from his father, and he's not going to give it up. Not for more money, not for a better vineyard. He's not going to give it up. This is what the father left him, his father. Ahab went home, resentful and sullen because of what Naboth, the Jezreelite, had said to him. For he said, "I will not give you my ancestral inheritance." He lay down on his bed, turned away his face, and would not eat. This is a king acting like a four-year-old. He lay down on his bed, turned away his face, and would not eat. This is a king. You're talking about the king of Samaria. He's acting like a four-year-old. His wife Jezebel came to him and said, "Why are you so depressed that you will not eat?" He said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard.' But he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" His wife Jezebel said to him, "Do you not govern Israel? Get up, eat some food, and be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." And so she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. She sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who lived with Naboth in his city. She wrote in the letters, "Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the assembly. Seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them bring a charge against him, saying, 'You have cursed God and you have cursed the king.'" These are lies. These are lies. Ahab wants the vineyard and he's going to have Naboth killed. Oh, what greed can do. What greed can do. Don't be greedy. You might say, "I have not too much money. You can be greedy over the money that you have. Be generous. Give. Open your hearts to give to the poor. Be generous. "Then take him out and stone him to death." The men of his city and the elders and the nobles who lived in his city, as Jezebel had sent word to them, just as it was written in the letters that she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the assembly. The two scoundrels came in and sat opposite Naboth, and the scoundrels brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth cursed God and the king." He did not. This is a lie. They're going to kill Naboth so that Ahab will get his vegetable garden. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth has been stoned. He is dead." As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, "Go take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, he is dead." As soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab set out to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Greed. Greed leads to murder, at least in our hearts. Oh no, you're called to be a prophet. At baptism, you are called to be a prophet. how we need to speak the Word of God. How we need to speak the Word of God, which is light in this dark times that we're living in. We're not living in light times. We're living in dark times. We kill our children from the womb. Not only that, we don't care about the poor. We don't care about the poor. The church should be caring for the poor, not the state. The church should be caring for the poor, not the state. I tell you, there would be more money that God would give us if we cared for the poor and brought them what they needed. But you know what? We have given our job over to the state. And you know, I don't think that was good. Elijah pronounces God's sentence on Ahab. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Go down to meet King Ahab of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to take possession. You shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession?' You shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, dogs will also lick up your blood.'" You see, nothing happens without God showing his prophets. Elijah saw in the spirit what Ahab and Jezebel had done. Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" He answered, "I have found you because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. I will bring disaster on you. I will consume you and will cut off from Ahab every male bond or free in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Hijah, because you have provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin." You see, not only did Ahab and Jezebel sin, but the sin came upon the whole of Israel. You know, when I sin, I not only sin, but it comes upon the whole church. When I am happy in the Lord, it's not only me that's happy in the Lord. The whole church shares in that happiness. We are part of the body of Christ. We have one head who is holy. And the only reason why the church is holy is because we have a holy head. His name is Jesus. Also concerning Jezebel, the Lord said, "The dog shall eat Jezebel within the bounds of Jezreel. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dog shall eat, and anyone who dies in the open country, the birds of the air shall eat. Indeed, there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Urged on by his wife Jezebel, he acted most abominably in going after idols as the Amorites had done, whom the Lord drove out before the Israelites." When Ahab heard those words, he tore his clothes and put sackcloth over his flesh. He fasted and laid in sackcloth and went about dejectedly. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, "Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days, I will bring the disaster on his house." Oh, how we need to repent. How we need to repent. How we need to repent. I tell you, the church needs to repent. Judgment begins with the house of God. I need to repent. Oh yes, repent, repent, repent was the word of John the Baptist and Jesus. Repent and believe. Repent and give your life to God. Repent, repent, repent. I tell you, things go better when we repent. Things go better. Why? Because we're doing what God wants us to do. None of us are holy without the Lord. None of us are holy without the Lord. We are sharing in His holiness that He gives us in the Holy Spirit. I tell you, we are called to be holy, holier than the Pharisees. We are called to be holy inwardly. We are called to have a conversion of heart so that Jesus could come and dwell in our heart and tell us what He wants us to do. Chapter 2 of 2 Kings. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." In other words, I need to be with you when you go up to heaven. I need a double blessing. I need a double portion of the Spirit. So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "I know. Keep silent." God doesn't do anything without sharing with His prophets. That's what the Word of God says. Oh, yes. We are called to bring the Word of God to a generation that has been brainwashed liberally. Brainwashed liberally. It's first God, then my family, then the country. I tell you, God first. How many of us have God as our Lord, as our Savior, as our Redeemer? How many of us go to the Lord and say, "You know, Lord, I am desperate for you today. I need you like I've never needed you before." How many of us go to the Lord in desperation? He hears the desperate. He helps the desperate. I remember going to a person who was desperate, and I had her tell God all the things she had against God, and she did. And she let out some terrible things, and poor God had nothing to do with it. Her husband died, and it was his time to die, but she was left with many children, and she was angry with God, and she poured out her anger. And after she finished, I said, "Now let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill you." And the Spirit of God came and filled this woman up until the top of her being and overflowing. I tell you, things have not changed. God wants to fill you with His Spirit. God wants to bless you today. People have said, "You know what, Father Tom, this broadcast is a blessing." Thanks be to God, it's a blessing. And other people say, "We never hear about abortion in our churches." I said, "Well, I'm going to keep on saying it because it's going to be the judgment of God on us for killing 60 million people in the womb. How sick we have become. The womb at one time was the most precious and safe place to be. Now it is the most unsafe place to be. I tell you, we need people to tell us to repent not only of abortion, but of not caring for the poor, not loving people that we are called to love, not preaching the Word of God in season and out of season, celebrating the Eucharist with reverence. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, 'Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.' Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Do you know that you were anointed as a prophet at baptism? Do you know that? That God wants you to speak out, not only Father Tom, but you too, to speak out against this dark world that we are living in. That there's only one light, and it's Jesus Christ and his church. He called his church the light of the world, and you're part of the church. You too are the light of the world. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.